Amen. Allow me to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you, sir, for the good reports that are already rolling in, for the anticipation of better things, for the appreciation of what you've done and the anticipation for what you are doing. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts will open up to your plan, that our understanding will be made fruitful as we see your plan and pursue it. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's another announcement. We still have calendars in the back. If you want to wait a couple months, it'll be discounted. Today they're free. Amen. Barbara and I plan to visit with you today about faith. I'll probably use all the time, Barbara. How many remember 52 years ago? Bill's the only one older than me, old as me. Yeah, so. Well, tonight, about midnight, 52 years ago, Mom and Daddy's house burned down. Now, my mom and daddy are still around. Dad's 94 and mom's 89, and they're still doing well. And they've, over the 39 years that I've known them, well, I'm a little older than that, they've lived by faith. And they've stuck with faith for the long haul. And faith is something that you can have for now and forever. And it's something that needs to grow and increase in your life. I want you to look at Philippians 1, 12, 13, and 19. Paul the Apostle was going through some things. We'll get back to the fire burning down in a minute. Paul the Apostle was going through some things. He said, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, which was his jail time, by the way, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if you could read between the lines there, he'd say, I'm in jail, but guess what? God's turning it for the good. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. Let's go on number 19 now. For I know that this jail time will turn out for my deliverance. How? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, back to the fire. Mom and Dad have had faith for the long haul. Faith did not prevent their house from burning. But their faith in the long haul, faith in the end result, faith that God was in control, their faith didn't save the house from burning, but faith built them a better house, and they were better off financially after it all took place and was said and done. Now, that doesn't mean for you to go burn down your house and collect the insurance. In fact, in Mom and Dad's case, they only had half enough insurance to replace the house, but that's where the neighbors kicked in. Dad's always been a generous giver, and the neighbors just poured it on, not only in monetary help, but they were there with their hammers and their saws, and then they did an ultimate makeover. It was a cold January night, below zero in that part of the country. Cold January night, January the 1st. We began to smell smoke in the house about 11 o'clock, and Dad woke us all up. The house was filling with smoke. And he said, this is bad. I don't know. It was all coming from around where the fireplace was built into the wall. And he said, he called the fire department, which is just a couple miles away. Little volunteer community fire department. They were there in a snap. But it was bad enough, even without flames, the smoke was bad enough. We started vacating the house. You know, Mama's china cabinet and all the records in the desk and, you know, start getting the important things out. And pretty soon that wall burst into flames around the fireplace. It was a two-story house, rather old two-story house, which the older houses, the wood's like kindling, and it just like burning paper, you know. And so soon the whole upstairs second floor was just ablaze. Fire department had this little old fire truck with 500 gallons of water on it, which was nothing. But we had a pond where we watered our livestock. We had a nice little pond. It was close enough to the house. They were able to drop a hose in to siphon the water from the pond into their pumper. And so they had a couple hours there of water for the house. Things were looking pretty bad. I was 16 years old at the time and doing all I could to help. Once we got all the furniture out of the first downstairs, I remembered Mama, all of our clothes were upstairs. So I went running over to Mr. Bill Bass, the fire chief, and I said, Mr. Bill Bass, if you get me one of those hood things that with a tank on the back that you guys wear when you have to go in the fire, I'll go upstairs and get those clothes. So he fitted me out, with one of these hoodie or thingamajig or whatever it was. You've seen them on TV. There's like this fireproof hood and a tank on the back for oxygen. He fitted me out, and upstairs I went. And I opened Mama's closet and little sister's, and I gathered in all I could. And I gathered a huge armload, nearly all of their clothes, and up off of the hanger hooks, you know. And down the stairs I ran, and the flames are going here and there. And I dumped those clothes in the front yard, and I remember, well, Dad and I's clothes are all in the other closet. Up, I'm going up again, Mr. Bass. Okay, well, be careful. If it gets hot, you come right back down. Upstairs I went again. I opened me and Daddy's closet, and I didn't see clothes. I just saw flame just come bursting out all over me and singed my whiskers. And I didn't have many whiskers at 16, but there was a few. I slammed that door shut and went running back down the stairs and took that thing off. Said, Mr. Bass, it's over. We're not getting anything else from downstairs, from upstairs. It's all history. And they got the fire hose going, you know, and pretty soon they almost emptied the pond, and it just looked like the fire was going to overtake them. And Mr. Bass says to my dad, there's no way we can save this house, Ed. It's not going to happen. We're not going to save this house. And they talked it over and said, well, let's let it burn. It'd be less to clean up. So everybody backed off, and the firemen began to roll up their hoses. Dad and I went and got in a little 2-ton truck that we had out by the loading chute some distance from the house, and we sat in that truck. It's about 10 below zero outside, and, you know, we're all wet and shivering, and we're sitting there, and the house is just, the flames going to the heavens. And the walls were still standing, but the roof was almost gone, and the flames are just shooting. And Dad said, well, the word says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord anyway. He gave us this house, he'll give us another one. In seconds, the flames went out. In seconds, the flames went out. And the fire department and everybody's going, how did this happen? Nobody knew how it happened, except for Dad and me and other Christians around. The Lord put that fire out. The walls were still, the roof was gone by the time it was said and done. The roof was totally gone. The second story floor was gone. But the subfloor on the bottoms and the walls were still intact enough we were able to reuse those in the rebuild. I have vivid memories of that. I gave you the short version. Aren't you happy? But the lesson to be learned here is that God wants you to have your faith in the long haul. Like I say, their faith didn't save the house from burning, but their faith produced beyond that, produced a bigger, better house and money in the pocket, literally. And the beauty of it all was, as we relate even recently, as we related with Mom and Dad about how the Lord put those flames out. When we gave it, when Dad gave it to the Lord, when he spoke it and said, Lord, it's yours. It's yours. You gave it to us, it's yours. If it goes, it goes. You'll give us another one. And those flames went out. Those things don't just happen in the natural realm. And it was, their faith was just guarding and guiding and directing that whole event. Your faith is for the long haul. You might say, I've been standing in faith for this, you're standing in faith for that, and it hadn't happened. I don't know about all this faith stuff. Hang in there, baby. Hang in there. One of these days you're going to look back and say, my faith saw me through. One of these days you're going to look at your history and say, my faith saw me through that when I didn't think I was going to make it. You're going to look at your history of your loved ones and your family, your wife and your children and your husband and say, you know, our faith got us through that. We didn't think we'd make it. Faith is for the long haul. Now, faith is the most important part of your life because you can't please God without it. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It's a very important part. In Hebrews 11:6, we see up on the screen in a minute, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If it's impossible to please God without faith, then it is possible to please God with faith. That's a very familiar scripture, but it's to remind us of the importance of faith. You want to please God? Now, if there's anybody you want to please, it's God, not your wife. I mean, you need to please her too if you can, but they're hard to please. It's important to please God, and we can do that by walking in faith. And it helps us to know how faith works, and helps us to know where it all comes from and how it all turns out. And faith is for your long haul. Do we have Romans 12:3 up there? Mark's on the computer. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. As God," and this last line is real important, this is my point, "as God has dealt to each one a limit of faith." Did I read that incorrectly? Forgive me. Let's try it again. "As God has dealt to each one a," help me, "measure of faith." Okay, what's a measure look like? What's a measure look like? Well, I don't think this is on Mark's list back there, because this is came to me later. But for you who know the word, you know that in Luke 6:38, let me read that to you. Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For it will be measured back to you. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is the measure. God has given to everyone not a limit of faith, but a measure of faith. And the measure of faith that Jesus gives is one that increases. And one that is shaken together and pressed down and running over and just getting all over people. Wouldn't you like to have enough faith that's just bubbling up, rising up like a fountain spring and it's getting on everybody all around you? That's a measure of faith that Jesus puts out. It's a big measure. It's not just a little cup. You know, he gives us a measure of faith, and it's not just this little cup. Well, God gave me this little cup of faith, and it's, I got to figure out how to make this last, because I could live 90 years, and man, I got to, somehow this little measure of faith, I'm so thankful for it. It's all I've got. I'm just so thankful for this little measure of faith. There's no limit on this. And what makes it so powerful is that faith, like all other characteristics of God and all other gifts of God, is seedable, sowable, plantable. You can sow your faith and it'll grow you a crop. I believe if we were to research it, we would find that all gifts of God are given to us as something that he intends to increase. Well, how about the gift of salvation? I mean, that's mine. That's a personal thing. You know, God's given me the gift of salvation. Believe me, he wants it to grow and increase and for you to share it. He wants your gift of faith to be of the measure that it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over so that everybody around you knows that you're saved and they get saved. I believe if we would trace it out, every gift of God is increasable by sowing and reaping. Every gift of God that God gives you, that blesses your life with, is something you need to be planting, sowing in the world around you. Because he wants that gift to grow and become a blessing to many. This is the principle of God. From Genesis to Revelation, God's principle is one of increase. And one of the most important laws of increase, I would probably could say the most important law of increase, is seed time and harvest. The word is so clear. You don't plant, you don't get. You know, anybody here raise a garden? Duh. You know, you got this beautiful garden plot. You know, you fence it off to keep the rabbits out. You know, and you get the rototiller and you plow it all up and you put it in little rows, you know, get your wife out there with the hoe and she makes these pretty straight rows along with the line that you've made straight so that it'll be pretty, you know, and you get it back and you set your irrigation system, you know, you got a sprayer over here and a sprinkler over here and a drip system over here and you got it, and this is the garden of gardens. And you sit there and, you know, June comes, there's some weeds, so you get the hoe and chop out the weeds. July comes, the rains come with the monsoons, and boy, the weeds, and boy, you get the whole family out there at the home. You know, where are the carrots? Where's that squash? Wife, didn't you plant squash? She said, no, I thought you did. If nobody plants anything, all you're going to grow is weeds. Seed time and harvest is the basis of all increase. And it's the law of God. just like the law of gravity says this microphone is going to drop if I turn it loose. There's also a law that says you put seed in the ground, there's going to be a demand on that seed to produce. And God wants you to seed your faith into other people's lives. Share your faith with someone and watch that faith grow in you and in them. Romans 10:8. Did we go there? I only know two or three songs. Better hurry up, Mark, or I'll sing both of them. Well, I know a little song, not very long. Teedle-dum, teedle-dum, now it's all gone. Come on, there it is. Yeah, give Mark a hand. He's the only one that's smart enough to make that computer work. That's why we're getting it. But what does it say? What does the word say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of what? Faith, which we preach. So where is the faith? How do you use, what do you use, what instrument do you use to plant faith? Huh? Yeah? Your mouth and your heart. Isn't that awesome? You ready to plant some faith in someone's heart? You know, there's people out there starving to death for your garden produce. They just need you to plant some faith in their hearts. Huh? Look at Romans 10:17. I didn't have to sing a song on that one. Oh, you're so happy, aren't you? I can like my singing. So then faith comes by making up some kind of your own personal opinion about the word. No? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by, or was that listening to the word? Faith comes by listening to the word. I got my tape on, I have my CD on, I have my MP3 player going. You know, I got faith in every room. But did you hear what you were listening to? That's the important part, because faith comes by hearing. How many ever raised a kid? I told you 9 times, you didn't hear me. Read my lips. Little angel, she never heard that until I said it. How many parents would agree with me that hearing is important? Did you hear me? Did you hear me? What did I say? You want faith? You want your measure of faith to grow? You want your faith to increase? Then hear what the word says. Because the word is the example. It's the pattern. It's the blueprint. It's the instruction manual. Word of God is the testimony of how faith worked in the past. And it's the prophecy of how work's going to function in the future. How work of faith is going to function in the future. And so it's like we need the word of God. We need to really hear what it's saying. And what it's saying is, I can grow out of this problem. What it's saying is, God wants me to increase. What it's saying is, this seed time and harvest thing, hey, that's a powerful principle. What it's saying is, look what God did for the ancestors. And over here it says, he's no respecter of persons. That means he'll do it for me. Hey, amen. Do we have any more scriptures? Yeah, let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, may he who supplies seed, what are we talking about, the garden? He who supplies seed to who? The sower, the person who's going to sow. He supplies seed to the sower, and he supplies bread for food. May he supply and multiply the seed. May he supply and multiply the seed. May he supply and multiply the seed that you've sown. And multiply the seed that you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Have we found any scriptures yet that'll go with our theme for the year? 2017, year of increase in all good things. And there's a scripture on the bottom of the increase of the what? Of the what? Of the increase of the what? Come on, guys, wake up. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. This is one of our favorite Christmas scriptures. God is on the increase. He's the God of increase. He's the Lord of increase. He wants you to increase everywhere but your waistline. Look at 6:9, Galatians 6:9. Now, And let us not grow weary. I'm so tired of this gardening thing. I've plowed it. I've weeded it. I've watered it. I'm so tired. Man, I'm so tired of this garden. It's just work. They didn't tell me how much work it was to have a garden. Let me just get some food stamps and go to Walmart. Don't get me started. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For when? In due season we shall what? Reap if we do not lose heart. Your faith is for the long haul. Don't lose heart. Now, I can't tell you what kind of scenario would have been set in place if Dad and I sitting in that truck out by the loading chute, if Dad would have said, oh, man, I thought the Lord was on our side, and look at this. Yeah, the Lord's promised to take care of us, and look at this. The whole blame house is up in flames. I got a feeling the angels wouldn't have went, if he had had the wrong attitude, I got a feeling the neighbors wouldn't have come pouring in to help with $100 bills in their pocket and a hammer and a saw. I can't prove that because I don't have that scenario in the history. But when I read the word and see how God feels about this, I'm beginning to see it like that. Remember the parable of the talents? God gives a guy 5 talents. The guy went, invested it, brought back 10. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. I'm going to make you ruler over much. He gives another guy 2 talents. The guy comes back with 4. An increase. He said, Lord, I doubled them. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on. He gave one guy 1 talent. The old boy come back and said, you know, I hid that talent because I knew you was going to ask me about this. So I just hid that talent. Act like I don't even have it. He said, and God said, boy, he's a mean God, isn't he? He so much as said, burn him. If he's going to appreciate me like that, just get rid of him. Don't want him in my kingdom. Ooh, that's a God of love. Yeah, and a just God. He gives us gifts, talents, faith, salvation, whatever he gives. He gives us the testimony of 2016 so we can increase in 2017. I want you to begin to search your hearts for the next few days for testimonies you can give to your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. There are things that happened to you in 2016 that need to be shared in 2017 in order that that testimony of faith will get over on them. It'll cause the faith to grow in you, and it'll cause them to begin to move in faith as well. Are we doing all right with this? I should be 10 to 12. I should be have you out of here by 2 o'clock. Oh, fiddle faddle. I left my second page of notes at home. We're going to have to quit. I love you guys. You're so awesome. You're so awesome. You put up with me. You just got to be. God, if I have any gold bricks left, give them to this bunch. They deserve them more than I do. Hallelujah. Let's stand and ask the Lord's blessing. Barbara she was going to do the second half of this lesson, but I smell the beans. What she'll do, she'll turn her half a lesson into a big full lesson here for about next week or so, huh? Will you forgive me, darling? She's so sweet. Best wife I ever had. Close your eyes and begin to think about some of these things. And let's just prayerfully right now, individually and prayerfully, let's just say, Lord, I could use the increase. This preacher's talking about increase in all good things, and I could sure use that. There's a lot of people I'd like to bless if I just had an increase in some things. There's a lot more I'd like to do with my life and to bless the lives of others if I just had an increase in some things. And Lord, we see that you're promising increase. We see that increase is your will by your word. And so, Lord, we just pray that you show us how to do this. Show us where to sow. How to sow and how to reap, how to plant and how to harvest. Show us how to use our talents, gifts wisely. Lord, you talked about faith being a measure, not a limit. And you told us that your measure was shake down, running over, and just poured full, running over. Just, your measure is unmeasurable. Your measure doesn't fit in the measuring cup. And Lord, that's the way you want to bless our lives so that we can bless others. You have designed our life and designed the gifts you give us to be gifts of increase, so that we can be a blessing to the world around us, so that we can get the kingdom of God established from sun to sun, from pole to pole. Lord, there's much work to be done in your kingdom, and there's many souls that need to hear the word. There's many men in the valley of decision, and they need to have choices when as they make their decision for life or death, for God or self. They need to have the truth standing there. So when they make their decisions, they make it based on the fact they've looked truth in the eye. Lord, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of faith to be shared, and I need my faith to increase. A lot of testimony to be shared. I need my testimony to increase. A lot of good things in this life that need to be shared. And Lord, I need those things to increase in my life. So we just reach out by faith right now and begin to receive our increase. We begin to receive our increase. Not to build us up, not to be selfish, not to feed our own selfish motives, but that we might establish the kingdom of God in the earth. That we might be a blessing to those in need. That we might make this world a better place, because you are the Lord of the increase. And Lord, I just appreciate so much you bringing this people to us today. This holiday, a lot of people could have been doing other things on this holiday, but they chose to come and hear your word. Oh, Lord, just bless them, increase them, encourage them in this, we pray. And Lord, as we go continue our fellowship around the table in the dining room, and we just bless our food, we bless it in Jesus' name. We appreciate it. We, with gratitude in our hearts, we say, thank you, Lord, for more than enough food, an increase in food. Lord, you're just so good to us in so many different ways. We thank you so much. I pray that this people will have the best week they ever had this week. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are all welcome to eat with us. My wife and I are only two people. We do eat for four. But we made food for 24. Please stay and eat with us if you can at all. God bless you. Have a great week.